We start by talking to a kicker with the Denver Broncos, not just a kicker with the Broncos, but a Super Bowl champion, a Broncos captain, NFLPA community MVP for week 14 last year, 2-for-2 on field goals, 3-for-3 on extra points in Sunday's win. He tied an NFL record for most field goals of 50 yards or more in a single season last year. Undrafted out of Temple way back in 2013, the Broncos coming off a big win. They're 1-0, and they are at Jacksonville on Sunday, a CBS game. Brandon McManus is my guest. Brandon, good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. Thanks for having me back. I might have to hire you to introduce me everywhere I go.
I don't know if you can afford me, dude. Actually, yes, I can do that. I can do that for you. We'll work something out. Listen, you have a great resume. You've been around the game a long, long time. I know you're not going to celebrate, Brandon, a week one win for too long, but at the same time, how nice is it to go on the road and get a comfortable win to start the season and set the tone?
Yeah, it's always good. Since we won the Super Bowl in 2015, you know, we haven't been back to the playoffs, and we only have one winning season in 2016. And last 2 years, we've been 0-7 in September. So it's good to kind of – got a bunch of young guys in here with a fresh mindset and want to get back to the winning ways of Denver football. So coming out there in New York and getting the first win was huge, and excited to try to keep that ball going.
All right, so it's just me on the outside looking in, but as an observer, it seemed to me that Teddy Bridgewater did some really good things on Sunday. How did he look to you, and what do you like about what he brings to the team and the locker room?
Yeah, Teddy looks awesome. Teddy Two Gloves, I think, is his nickname around the league, but he was like Teddy Slippery Noodle. You know, he was escaping. He was going crazy out there. Much different, I think, than what people – you know, thought he had in his game, and he did a great job leading us to the victory, and excited for him to continue to do this. You know, he's had a incredible year, you know, career in Minnesota before that injury, looked good in New Orleans, and then last year in Carolina, so we're excited to have him here, and hopefully upward trajectory for the rest of his career, which obviously will end up in a lot of wins here.
All right, so when you and I spoke last year, we talked a little bit about mindset and what it takes to be a kicker. So take me back to Sunday. When you're going on the road, what is your process like for preparing to kick in a stadium that you don't see that often?
Yeah, I was actually talking with the TV broadcasters, you know, pregame, and because it was a little windy at MetLife. It's always going to be windy at the Meadowlands, as you know. And, you know, I said I actually don't mind the wind. One, because you have an excuse.
Right.
And then two, it's kind of similar to golf. When you know where the wind is going to be, you could kind of hit certain golf shots into the wind, fades or draws, and kind of have the ball hold. So you can kind of do that same thing with kicking and kind of eliminate one miss, one direction by playing with the wind. But, you know, as we talked last year, the mindset is, you know, it's such black and white, whether you make the kick or miss the kick, and especially crucial times of the game. You know, it just comes down to, I've been around the block a little now and have played in every stadium, just, you know, honing in on my skills and what I've been doing for the past 10 years.
Brandon McManus, and then you'll have a game that is just unlike any other game. Like, we talk about process for being on the road, but as an example, in last year's win over New England, 18-12, you were 6-of-6 on field goal attempts, including kicks of 52 and 54 yards. It set a franchise record for field goals in a game. You earned a game ball. I mean, as always, you'll look ahead, but as you look back, what do you remember most about that day in that game?
Yeah, that's a special game. It's most kicks I've made. And then I now own the record as well for most multiple 50-yarders in a game as well. I think I have 8 games of multiple 50-yarders. And, you know, it's always difficult. You love to make the 50-yarders, but, you know, percentages have gone up as the kickers have gotten better, but it's always good to make a couple of them. But to me, that's, you know, a special game, you know, in my heart and in my career, remember that. And then also the divisional round against the Steelers in 2015. It was super windy here in Denver, and I was 5-for-5. At the time, was tied the NFL playoff record for most field goals, and I had a couple 50-yarders in that as well. So it's always, you know, try to turn the page the next day, because you can go 6-for-6, and then the next day could be a tough battle, but that's just the nature of kicking.
Brandon McManus joining us. Now, preparing for games is not just about getting your mind right. It's about getting your look right. You have thrown down some amazing fits on game day. What is your philosophy when it comes to how you dress for game day?
I appreciate it. It's last minute. I could be better. I do a good job, at least, of pre-shopping for some of the looks and then picking out my suits for traveling. I have a suit girl named Chandra Ferrar who works at LV, but we do a good job in the off season trying to plan for certain suits, and then kind of local casual wear to our home games. You know, it's different, especially cool here in Denver. It gets hot and cold very quickly, so you have a magnitude of options. So I've worn ski suits, when it snowed to games. Gone with like an all denim Canadian tuxedo because it's kind of a mountain man look as well for Colorado. So. Obviously, playing in Denver, I have an options that I could wear kind of a bunch of different styles, but I like to have fun with it. It kind of showed my personality outside of just football. Obviously, it's our job to play football and the job for me to make kicks, but, I'm trying to just help build my brand personally as well and have some fun with it.
A denim tux is such a badass look. That is a strong move. Brandon McManus joining us. I appreciate that whole thing, actually. So you come into the league as an undrafted free agent. You were waived by the Colts in August of 2013. You signed a future contract with the Giants for January 2014. You get traded to Denver in August of that year. You were waived a few months later and then signed again a few days later. I mean, what was that first year in and around the league like for you?
Yeah, it was a fun time that when I got into the league in Indianapolis, and then I thought I wanted to learn a bunch from Adam Vinatieri, so I knew that was kind of a good opportunity for me to learn about the pressure of kicking and the mental side of it as well. So sat out that whole year, then I signed that futures deal to New York, and I thought I was going to get that job for sure. I was perfect in the preseason, really strong leg for the kickoff, so no issue there. But so they ended up trading me to Denver. But I knew I was still young and my technique-wise, and there's three-step kickers and there's two-step kickers. And at the time, I was kind of like a two-and-a-half step with a little jab, and I knew I wanted to get rid of that. I just wasn't going to do it when I was going to get my first starting job here in Denver. So, I missed a couple kicks my rookie year, and they releasing me. And the moment they released me and they signed me back a couple days later, I removed that step completely, and now, strictly a two-step kicker. Which has really elevated my game, and that's why I am still here today.
Before you go, I've got to ask you about this. You've been getting really involved in NFTs. Now, am I correct in thinking that you got your start with Weird Whales? And if so, how did you hear about that initially?
Yeah, a bunch of friends I've followed forever on Twitter, and they were posting about these NFTs and stuff. Mostly the Bored Apes originally, and then I was like, I don't know, to buy X amount of money for a picture, and then I started learning about the community and these people, and then that's right when these Weird Whales came out. I was a 12-year-old who coded it and did all the properties and traits that you needed to do and all the blockchain technology. And it hit home a little bit with me because in my foundation I have for Project McManus, I do classes for coding with Microsoft for underprivileged and disadvantaged kids. So I thought it was such a unique project. So I wanted that to be one of my first projects I owned. And then it's been a blast, though, in this NFT community. It's a constant learning for me, and it's very unique, and it blows my mind every day kind of what people come out with and see what they get to do.
See, I was going to say, exactly what is it? I mean, clearly you love it. I was going to say, what do you like about it? Is it the art? Is it the potential financial upside? Is it something else? Why are you so into it?
I think it's... There's no status, I guess you could say. The thing I love about New York City is when there could be a homeless person and a billionaire riding the subway next to each other. You know what I mean? It's such a unique place in the city like that. And it's similar in the NFT community. Somebody could be a billionaire and they're kind of behind an alias, or somebody could be super poor and, it's not financial advice, that puts their money into something when they should be paying the rent. And all of a sudden it turns into $100,000. It's very rewarding to see people, who've made money and that they need it and help their family out. And then there's also, but nobody knows who's who because you're kind of behind an alias. So I think it's, like I said, a very unique and fulfilling, a community.
Brandon McManus joining me. So help me with this. What do you say to people who just don't get it, right? They don't understand NFTs, or worse, they just think they're stupid and a waste of time. What do you say to those folks?
Yeah, I mean, I had my doubts for sure in the beginning. And just like I was early into cryptocurrencies and stuff like that. But the people who make their money in cryptocurrencies aren't going to go back, take their profits and invest in Apple stock. They're going to try to stay in that avenue of digital currency and art. So instead of just keep trading the coins, cryptocurrency coins, they want some type of, even though it's not truly physical at times, these NFTs, this digital arts they could put up in their home, you know, with these computer monitor screens and picture frames that change. And then what the NFTs are doing now is kind of creating real life experiences. So, like what I'm looking to do in some projects is, hey, if you get my custom NFT, you know, you have an opportunity to, you know, win a Super Bowl party with me at the Super Bowl or tickets. So kind of add some real life value to them as well as a collectible.
I like that. I like that a lot. So finally, what about crypto? Do you have any Bitcoin? When did you get into that? What are your feelings about that overall?
Yeah, I got into crypto in 2017. I own one Bitcoin. And then, you know, just kind of sat on that just along with the ride. You know, my financial advisor, I'm sure, they're old school, so he wasn't into cryptocurrency. So this was kind of a side gig of mine, you know, just trying to be adventurous and risky in some sense. So, but XRP, which is kind of through an SEC litigation right now, Litecoin, Ethereum, a bunch of coins that I've gotten into over the time, and it's been fun just to follow along and kind of see the trends of it.
I'm with you. I did the same thing. It's like kind of our little side hustle, our side account that we don't tell our money guy about. We just do it to have some fun and kind of learn about. So what about, I'm the same as you. I have a little bit more than one Bitcoin. What do we do? What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Do we sit and hold? Are you ever tempted to take the profit off the table and reinvest? What do you do with the Bitcoin?
Well, I think the good thing for you is, you know, I didn't do the right thing. Well, still could go back and do it, but you never want to buy one of one thing because then you don't know what to do with it. If you have two, you might sell one, and then you could hold the other one for the rest of a while if you want. But I do think it's going to be $250,000, you know, $1 million at some point. Just don't know when. You know, I'm not a financial forecaster, but I do think eventually it'll get to some numbers like that.
Dude, that was the plan, right? That was the plan when we bought that thing. So I agree with you. Now, I also agree with the point that you want to have two, not one, so you have that option. But at this price, it's tougher to have two than when we got the first one. But I see it working. Brandon McManus, obviously a whole lot to him and his game on and off the field. Brandon, great to get caught up. Thanks for the education on crypto and NFTs. Great to talk to you. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great having you back, Brandon McManus. Good conversation. And again, we're talking about not only somebody who's got really diversified interests. I love what he said about, yeah, you know, it's an opportunity for me when I show up to the stadium to kind of show my side of my personality, develop my brand. There's still so much more to him even that we did not get to in terms of some of the work that he does with the NFLPA. He's a captain on the team. He's also the team's player representative to the NFLPA. So we're talking about a kicker who is leading from the front. A lot of guys are looking to him. And then lots of different interests off the field, too.